chant that we did yesterday, this morning. Love the chant, love the chant. The four divine abidings on 31. That describes the what we call the Brahmaviharas. You have on one side, you have the on 30, you have the Pali, but on 31. So the first is loving kindness, which is called metta in the Pali. The second is compassion, which is karuna. Third is gladness, or sometimes you see it as empathetic joy. Mudita. And equanimity is upekkha. And those are called the four divine abidings. And they're ways that in the Theravada tradition we describe how the heart opens. So the first one is the sense of kindness and general amity to all beings. May all beings be free from suffering. And what I indicated this morning is that there is an affective tone to that. So you use words and use images, but there is a tone to your heart when you feel affection. It's different tone than when you feel aversion, right? Obviously. There's a tone to your heart when you feel open to someone. There's a tone to your heart when you feel apprehensive about someone. There's a tone to your heart when you are excited about something. So the heart of the matter, right? That's what we're pointing to here. And you can evoke that. You can recollect that. You can remember that because that has occurred in your life. You have felt affection. You have felt openness to beings. And so the way to do that is to evoke or recollect that by remembering someone who, when you think of them, brings that to heart. That's the idea. And one doesn't want to just leave it at a intellectual, verbal level. May I be well, may you be well, which is okay. It's better than saying may you drop dead. But if you can also bring it down to the heart, where it does abide, or just get a feeling of that as a mood in the mind, maybe it won't be physically so strongly located, and get that affective tone, and then apply that to the way you're being mindful, then you have a lovely combination of both mindfulness and kindness. The second, compassion, is the feeling that arises when people suffer. So this horrible tsunami that the world experienced, I mean, all of us were incredibly shocked by that, and we felt deep, deep compassion. So the thing about a karuna, which in the Pali, compassion, is that it can quite often go to worry, or it can go to depression. If someone we love is in pain, we're very open-hearted to them, but then we can also start to worry about them, or be fear for their well-being, or get depressed. So as I was telling the Ottawa folk, when this tsunami happened, I was watching television with Mom, and we were watching these very difficult images, and I chose to actually look at images. And then I would take some of the stronger images that impacted my heart, and I would bring them up in my meditation. So I would take the image of there was the one where a man had lost his whole family, and his dead child was dragged across his knees, and that, you know, it hits in the heart. So then I would bring that up in my meditation, and I would go to that feeling in the heart, but then I wouldn't dwell on the hopelessness of it. That would be thought. So if I took that feeling and then I started to think, what's going to happen? How can you handle that? How can anyone handle that? Oh my goodness, da 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 da. Then I'm not really with the affective tone. I'm with the consequences of that. I'm with thought, with analysis, and that's not where we want to go. That is necessary. It is necessary to think about what can we help for people, and we raised money and did things like that in Ottawa. But just as a contemplative, meditative practice, the practices of our karuna are to open the heart with a heart of compassion. Danger is you get really depressed or you get worried about it. Good part of it is it's the balance, really, to things like aversion and cruelty. So you use an image. If you want to develop that, if you feel you want to develop that, you bring up another person's suffering. You bring that up into the heart. And then you just touch that area in the heart and just try to abide with that. If your mind starts to get depressed with it, then you wouldn't do that. So I can do that with my mother, but I don't start to think about her pain, because then that would be counterproductive. So that's another way to connect to the heart, just the suffering that beings have. And that, I think most of us, when we saw those images, it really just impacts you so powerfully. And so there's something about our system which feels like in a heartfelt way. We say, my heart was open, and it's not just an adage which has no physiology to it. That's why we say, and it's not the pump on the left. Something that's more to the centers in the heart chakra, and they have it in yoga. So that's another way to maybe touch that, to get a hold of that, to get that what that feels like. Mudita, the third of these is the feeling of gladness one has when one sees some beauty. So like if you have grandchildren, and a grandchild brings you a little drawing which is only a grandmother might appreciate. the grandmother's delight that the grandchild's drawing is very pure, and it's very sincere, it's very beautiful. And then that gladness also is a connection. It's not, you're not looking at the critic, making critical statement of the three-year-old's artwork, right? It's not that, it's not a critical function, it's a heart function. There's no criticism or analysis. So that's another way that you can open the heart. So if you find there are images that, what I do, if I touch something in daily living, if I'm at an airport or just whoever I'm with, and there is an incident of very obvious gladness like that, where someone is rewarded or someone has some success or there's joyful relationship between someone, then I just use it the next evening. Just kind of implore that which is there all the time, remember that, and keep stimulating that part. So that in the practices of the heart, whatever way you can get to a heart-sensed openness is okay. Gratitude, quite often people find gratitude quite a nice entry, where you just think of something that's been done for you, which is very beautiful, or just living in Canada, having this lovely place, or whatever you like, but then this kind of heartfelt gratitude, that can open your heart too. And if you can focus it on a person, that makes it very definite, so you can keep reinvigorating that, or re-evoking that, until that becomes a much more, a very natural place that you can return to without really much effort, because you remember what that feels like. Equanimity is open-hearted peace for the way things are, and that's the ability to go with the punches, to go with the ups and downs, the joys and sorrows, and yet also, because these four are really a piece, equanimity also is conjoined with compassion and open-heartedness. If it was just equanimity, it could be a sort of aloofness or a dismissiveness or a coldness. But if you don't have the equanimity, then of course things like compassion can get you into depression, or gladness can get you all excited. So equanimity is a sense, well, we use it, we contemplate it in many ways. One of the ways we say is that all beings are owners of their karma, heir to their karma. We contemplate the law of karma. So there's a sense that we all have work to do. We all have joys and sorrows that we're going to go through, and we all have to learn from them. So bringing up a sense that, like, if I just keep talking about my mother because I live with her, but say with my mother, I have to bring equanimity in, because there's lots of compassion. and joy for the good things in her life, but there's also the tendency then to get worried. So I need to really work on yeah, but you know, at 89, what are you going to get? And it's obvious, you can see it. And people say, oh, she's pretty good, 89. But don't tell her that. You know, 89's a bummer. it's not fun. So just to kind of trivialize the pain she has by saying, well, you're pretty good. You know, you haven't got Alzheimer's. True. But so you can't kind of lay that trip on her. But I can contemplate, like, yeah, with 89 years, this is what you get. You get arthritis. You know, you're not going to get an athletic 25-year-old body. It's obvious, but it really helps the mind come to a sense of peaceful coexistence with the way things are. So those bits of our life which we find unacceptable, at a social level, some things are unacceptable. You know, in terms of social conscience, in terms of social activism, things are unacceptable, and we need to somehow, as much as we have power, put as much peace and compassion into the world as we can in our own limited ways. So some things are unacceptable at a social level. But at the heart level, things are this way. This is life, like it or not. And how can we get a heart which is peacefully coexisting with the way things are and yet doing as much as we can with compassion and kindness? So this is a really lovely package about the heart and how to develop an open-hearted peacefulness with the way things are. And you can, and if you have, like, if you have difficulties accessing it, figure out different ways. Like use gladness, or use beauty, use gratitude, use affection. Notice those times in your life when you are touched by life in some really, really beautiful and profound way, and then say, oh yeah, and then recollect that. Use the imagery of that. We don't want to manufacture things, you know, manufacture love, like you make tires or something. that would be a bit inauthentic. But it's like accessing something that's there all the time. We have that possibility. So if like sometimes I talk a lot about the heart area because that's where I've been practicing a lot. Sometimes people don't feel anything strongly. That's fine too. But there is a difference to thinking, may I be well, may you be well, or thinking, may I be well, may I be free, and thinking, you're hopeless, spirit, dumb, oh, you're a basket case. There's a difference. Even if I don't feel it, there's a different tone of the jitta from one to the other, obviously. And even if I don't feel anything strongly, if I just put that suggestion in, may I be free from sleepiness, say, if I'm meditating, or may I be free from the jabbering mind, or may I be free from these damn knees. may I be free from pain. Then when my mind goes into judging, oh, there you go, you're talking again, you're doing this again, you say, no, you've got a different kind of reflection. And I really, as I keep saying, I think kindness and respect and mindfulness, they have to be somehow one integral package. Because if you think about how you learn. When I was visiting the city of 10,000 Buddhas once in California, it's a big Chinese monastery, they run actually a school, both a primary school and a high school, private school, for local kids and Chinese people who want to join the school. And they have some Vietnamese refugees who come and join the school. And the first thing they teach them is respect. They say if they can't get that across, they don't teach them. But once they get respect through various ways, then the kids learn really well. And some of the kids that I talked to Hung Shur about this earlier on, where there are a lot of boat people, some of the kids had come from really rough street situations in Vietnam, so they were pretty tough. And so that was the first thing, to get a kind of sense of respect going. So also, I think with our own spiritual development, that we need to have that aspect rather than a kind of attainment mind or a judging mind or an imposition of will. I don't think those work very well. We need some willpower, sure. We need to aspire, sure. But when there is respect for this moment and kindness and attention, then we will learn, because that's where our minds are very open. and those attitudes, then you have to look at it in yourself, how you approach, what kind of attitudes you bring to each day, each time you meditate. And these practices of the Brahma Viharas create suggestions in consciousness which are very wholesome, and they're part of the training, and they help to see the opposite. So if you want to try that, you can try those ideas. But in general, when you see them in your life, reinforce them. It's really lovely. Right? If you go to an airport and you see something really delightful between, like a family meeting who haven't seen each other and they're hugging and happy, connect to that happiness, that's empathetic joy, and take it to your cushion and enjoy it. It's not smarmy, it's not sentimental, it is about the way we function. Okay, let's do some meditation. Let's start with the Namo Tassa mantra. Then if you want to work on the heart, fine, use the breath or body, I'll leave it up to you with the ideas that we've suggested.